Here's a personal question that you may wish to answer yourself. Are you satisfied with your appearance? Are you satisfied with your beauty or your handsomeness? Do you wish you were more beautiful or more handsome? Hirap maging guwapo. Can you go to YouTube, Louis, and type hirap maging guwapo. There was this one person testified that it was not easy to have good looks. Yung una yata? Yung first yata? Yung first? Hindi yan. He confessed that anywhere he went, he was crowded because of his handsomeness. Yan ba yan? Go to YouTube. Hirap maging guwapo.
Hi, I'm Sandrino Mangunay. There was a time na nung high school ako, when I looked at the mirror, I asked God, Lord, ba't po ang guwapo ko? Kasi nahihirapan ako. Ang daming nagkakagusto sa akin. As in, every time, kahit saan ako pumunta, ang daming nagkakagusto sa akin. Tapos, parang sobrang depressed na ako nun. That was the lowest part of my life talaga na sobrang down ako. Na thinking about that one na parang grabe. Bakit? Ba't ako pinanganak ng ganito? Bakit? Bakit nung high school ako lalo pa akong gumwapo? So, bali ginawa ko siya ng paraan. Nagpataba ako, kain ako ng kain, kahit di ko naman gusto yung ulam, kahit, alam mo yun, isaw, hindi ko naman talaga siya gusto dati. Gusto ko lang talaga is, yung mga pang-healthy lang. So, ganun. So, ginawa ko, kumain hanggang sa tumaba ako. Pero wala pa rin, guwapo pa rin ako nun. So, there was a time din na na-engage ako sa victory, na nakasagot din ng mga tanong ko sa buhay kasi that's one of the biggest questions in my life. Bakit sobrang pogi ko talaga? I was engaged sa victory group, naging part ako, nag one-to-one din ako. So yun, parang inopen up ko yun sa leader ko na sabi ko, kuya, ang pangit ko, no? Tapos sabi niya sa akin, hindi ah, pogi ka nga eh. Tapos naiyak ako nung time na yun. Ang hirap ng part na yun kasi nagtuloy pa rin ako kahit na ganun hanggang sa na-realize ko one time, sabi rin sa akin ng leader ko, what if ginagamit talaga ni God yung kagwapuhan mo? Wag mo namang sirain para lang hindi ka mahirapan sa struggles. Ganun. Sabi ko, oh ano? Napansin ko nga, pag pupunta ako ng church, grabe eh, overflow yung room eh. As in, pagka alam nilang pupunta ako doon, kailangan yung mga ushers prepared na yung overflow room kasi marami nang pupunta doon. Kasi parang, hindi ko alam eh, parang artista lang talaga ako tignan. So, I learned to accept that fact na gwapo talaga ako. So, hanggang sa may time na nag-workout na ako ulit, nagpapayat ako, binalik ko yung dati kong katawan. So, eto na ako ngayon. Pogi na ulit. So, yun, na-realize ko na talaga ako. Sana ako din ni-destine ni God.
Yan eh. Ayan. So, kung namumroblema kayo sa inyong kagwapuhan at kagandahan, dahil maraming nag-invite sa'yo sa Facebook na magiging friends nila, then, yan ang sekreto. God has a purpose. God has a purpose sa details ng ating buhay. Sa ating appearance, and God has designed it for His purposes. Again, can you appreciate how you look? Can you appreciate your appearance? Did you thank God for who you are? Did you thank God for how you were created? How and where you were born? what you are right now in your practical life, your attainments, including circumstances and struggles. Did you thank God for them? It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, let's read this together. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You may have observed, no, kung napapansin natin, God's commands are almost always contradictory to what we normally do or wish. Bakit po kaya ganon? The things that we want to do are not the things that God wants us to do. Sure, we can easily give thanks when things are favorable to us. Kung magandang nangyari sa ating buhay, we can easily say, praise God, ang daming pagkain, praise God, ang daming... Alright. But when things are undesirable, unfavorable, unpleasant, giving thanks don't come easy, do they? Can you readily accept? Madali po bang sabihin that it is God's will when things become tough in our life? Can we really say, oh, this is God's will for me, thank God for these things? Joseph may have been very thankful to God when he was still living in his father's household because he was the favorite son of his father. And everything that his brother wished to have, he had. Joseph got them. But when his brother sold him as a slave, did he ever thank God for it? Did he thank God? Lord, thank you for my brothers that they sold me as a slave. Possibly later, but not immediately. The Lord blessed everything that Joseph did so that he prospered even while he was still a slave in Egypt. Would God bless us if we are not thankful? He must have been very thankful later. Joseph was diligent. He was reliable. And his master Potiphar promoted him and put him in charge of all his properties. Potiphar observed that the Lord blessed Joseph in everything he did. He admired his wisdom, the work ethics of Joseph, but Potiphar's wife admired the well-built body and handsomeness of Joseph. Let's read again verse 6b and 7. Now Joseph was well-built and handsome, and after a while his master took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. Do you agree that the handsome face, the handsome appearance of Joseph was natural? Or was it possible that he had a plastic surgery at that time? Well, he had well-built body, but it was not mentioned it was a natural well-built body. And to have this well-built body implies that Joseph did not neglect his health. He took care of his health, meaning even in that seemingly unfavorable situation being a slave, he made it sure that he took care of his body, he ate properly, and exercised regularly. What do you normally, when you go and watch movies, many of us love to watch movies, they like to watch movies. What do you normally... Why do you go to watch movies? What is it that you want to watch in the movie? You want to see the story plot, or you want to see the action, or the scenery? Many times I love to watch the scenery where they took those scenes. One of my friend, a civil engineer, said he go and watch movies to just watch of the buildings and see different designs that he may be able to copy or adjust in his projects. Most of the Cordilleran people go to the movie just to look at the names of the cast of the characters so that they will say Stanley or what is it, Lincoln, or Johnson. So if you go to the to Cordillera, you will surely hear names that are Americanized because of those things. But anyway, most often, actors prepare their bodies according to the role. If, like for example, the person who acted as Incredible Hulk, he might have tried to have this bodybuilding, or the one who wanted to be a Superman or a Batman or American heroes, they would surely build their bodies, so build their muscles so that they will look like muscle people. And have you watched The Piano, the pianist, the movie The Pianist? The actor there was very skinny, right? Or have you watched the Schindler List? How about the Amistad movie? Amistad, the movie about, what's that song? The song of John Newton about slavery? Amazing Grace? The Amistad movie, if you haven't watched that, it's a very good movie about the Amazing Grace, when John Newton, he was a slave trader, and from there he heard that song of Amazing Grace. And these slaves singing Amazing Grace. And most of the slaves that acted in those slavery movie are very skinny. Have you observed it? Have you observed that when actors act like slaves in movies, they are skinny? Such image of a skinny individual presents the situation of slaves as not desirable. They are despicable, they are deplorable, or just plain ugly. Why? Well, a well-built body cannot be emphasized the hardship or the limited food the slave endured. So if you look at the slave and the slave is just a well-built and had a good feature, you won't just believe that slave struggled. Yet it was the very opposite of what happened to Joseph. Joseph was a slave, but it says, the Bible says, he was well built and handsome. And his master's wife admired him because of his handsome appearance, his features. It appeared like being a slave was just kind of ordinary life experience to Joseph. It was not a struggle for him. How did Joseph manage to endure or take his life easy as a slave? Can we imagine ourselves being a slave and still enjoy being a slave? Apostle Paul testifies in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 to 29. Let's read this. 23 to 29, that should be. I have worked much harder, being in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep, and I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? If I boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. Apostle Paul boasted of the difficulties he went through as Christ's servant. Why did he respond positively to troubles? Certainly, the Spirit of Christ produced in him the fruit of the Spirit in his life, which sustained him and keep him going, keep on serving the Lord. It is hypocrisy for him if he did not experience what he teaches in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 to 7. He teaches us, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, by thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. That peace that surpasses understanding is the fruit of the Spirit. And we may not be able to understand why we have peace, despite of the troubles, despite of the concerns, despite of the conflicts or the problems that we experience. It's because it's biblical, it says, it surpasses our understanding. The Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is at work in us, we cannot just explain in words, human words, I mean. Accordingly, Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter to the Philippians. Now, when he said, rejoice in the Lord always, and you are in prison, was he rejoicing in prison? He did. He had rejoiced in prison. Actually, there was this time when he and Silas were praising, singing praise when they were in prison, and it had earthquake and they were freed. So prison life in North America is good because some people want to be in prison because they have insurance, they have guards, and they have food, and they can easily complain if they are not treated fairly. They are in prison. They just go inside the prison. Actually, somewhere in Europe, the prison in Europe is far better than the house you are living in today. Just search in the internet and say jail in what was the country of Schwarzenegger? Austria. Jail in Austria, I think it's so beautiful, it's full glass. Do you believe that? That's prison. Much beautiful than. So our prison now, we don't understand if prison is really a punishment. It's a comfort for many. But prison in the time of Paul was never better than slavery in his time. It was not very good because they will be underground, they will be somewhere where it's very cold and very, very, very dark. And you just don't want to be in dungeon, in a prison. But in here, what's happening now, prisoners are given much privilege than the free people. Yet Paul, in his time when he was in prison, he challenges us to rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always? What does that mean? What does it mean to rejoice in the Lord always? For Paul found joy in peace that surpasses understanding, serving Christ as his Lord. Is it easy to explain? Is it easy to understand how to have joy, how to have peace when situations are unfavorable, when situations are tough, when situations are deplorable? Maybe partly, maybe we can explain a little, but more than what word can explain, it exceeds human intellectual capacity. We just cannot explain when we say we rejoice in the Lord. And we simply say by faith, that it's by faith that we experience. Paul did not pretend to be joyful while in prison or when persecuted. The Spirit of God sustained him when he decided to obey the plan that the Lord has designed for him. Now, before Paul went to Jerusalem, when he was traveling to Jerusalem, a prophet named Agabus warned him, don't go to Jerusalem because people in Jerusalem, the Jewish people in Jerusalem, are waiting for you. They are hostile. If you go there, they will harass you. But he still went to Jerusalem. Exactly as what the prophet warned, Jewish people in Jerusalem tried to kill him when he testified in Acts chapter 22, verse 21 and 22. Let's read this. The Lord said to me, let's read. The Lord said to me, go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. The crowd listened to Paul until he said this. Then they raised their voices and shouted, rid the earth of him, he is not fit to live. Now, Paul had clearly known that his mission was not among the Jewish, but among the Gentiles. And he was violently harassed by Jewish people. Jewish people were often hostile to Paul. Why? Why were these Jewish people hostile to him when Paul was a recognized Pharisee at the time? Well, was it God's way to redirect Paul's mission path to the Gentiles? But why did Paul insist on going to Jerusalem when the Lord warned him? The Lord warned him, there will be hostility waiting for you in Jerusalem. But still went on. Paul may have been very zealous, and he said he wants to, at least a few of them, he would like to testify before the Jewish people to save at least a few Jewish people. When we encounter trouble, while we serve God, while serving God, we experience trouble also. Is it possible that we just failed to choose the ministry God has designed for us, like Paul? Anyway, Paul was harassed, but the Lord sustained him. He kept him safe so that the will of the Lord for Paul as apostle to the Gentiles must be fulfilled. Actually, it was a blessing in disguise of what happened to him, because he was put in chain, he was put in prison when he went to Jerusalem, and because he was in prison, he had this free travel to Rome. As a prisoner, he did not pay his fare going to Rome. When the commander of the Roman soldiers brought him to Rome, he had also guards. How about that? This is why people would like to go to prison, because they have guards, they have insurance, they are living in a much better facility than sleeping on the street. Can you imagine that? You like that life. Likewise, Joseph prospered and had well-built body, and that may prove that the Lord sustained Joseph in Egypt, just as God sustained Paul when the Jewish people were hostile to him. God's plan for Joseph must be fulfilled. His master, Potiphar, had certainly observed that Joseph had this joy in his work. Perhaps he might have been whistling while doing his work. I don't know how to whistle much, but something like that. Have you heard people while working in the office just whistling, even without any music in it? They just want to whistle because they just have this full of joy, and it produced good results to when Joseph worked that way, he had that full of joy, and it was favorable, of course, to Potiphar and his household. Think about this. If you own an establishment, if you own a business, would you choose a manager for your business? Would you choose a person who always complains? Now, think about that. The reason, perhaps, that you are not promoted as manager because you always complain. Ask the Lord to keep on filling you with the Holy Spirit so that instead of complaining, there's joy, there's peace, there's this goodness and kindness. And people, when they see you are kind, they would rather say, oh, don't promote me, just promote him, he is much better than me. Maybe perhaps would also your co-employee would also push you to be promoted because of your personality that the Holy Spirit had produced. Potiphar put Joseph in charge of all his properties because he was reliable. He must have been a very diligent person, and for sure Potiphar was blessed because of him. If your slaves are not diligent, if your slaves, for example, you just imagine, they will just work when you are there, and when you are you turn your back, they are just playing cards or even doing something, just like what's happening in the government offices these days. They are reporting that those inspectors are, instead of doing their work, after their work, instead of going to the office, they are just there hanging out at the bar. Have you heard of those news? Or the news in the U.S. that when nurses do not do anything, they are playing cards, and that congressman, I think, they sent him at least 7,000 playing cards. I don't know. Have you heard of that? Have you watched that? Have you read that? You are not blessed if you own an establishment with people who are playing, right? You don't like that. So we can imagine that Joseph must have been very diligent, and that was because Potiphar was, because of his work ethics, Potiphar was blessed and he was reliable, so that Potiphar put him in charge of all of his properties except his wife. But the reliability of Joseph was tested further when he refused Potiphar's wife, when he ignored temptation. Joseph was determined not to sin against God. He prioritized his duties assigned to him. Let's read again verse 8 and 9. But he refused. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such wicked thing and sin against God? How about that? That is a very beautiful, a desirable kind of life, working life, giving all the privilege to manage everything. If that was not a blessing from the Lord. It was a blessing from the Lord. Well, Joseph's appeal may have been exceptional, but Joseph's faith in the Lord was tested. His faith helped him resist and refuse temptation. Faith in God inspires us to live a lifestyle pleasing to the Lord. It is by faith. It's not that we just want to force ourselves to live a lifestyle pleasing to the Lord. It is because of faith. Because of faith, we reject temptation of any kind. A lifestyle pleasant to the Lord is actually the greatest lifestyle we can ever have and experience. Faith in the Lord motivates us not to entertain temptation, but to pursue the plan of God for us. If we truly believe in God, we want His plan. We want to follow what He wants us to do. Because we know by faith that His plan is the best for us. We may say, if God is our Creator, if God is the Creator of all things, He certainly knows what is best for His creation. Just imagine you do something. What is best for what you do? What you have done, if it is a potter, if you are the potter does not know what is best for it. It may desire, I want to be a cup for coffee, but the others, no, I want you to be a pot for flowers, not coffee. The pot chooses to be for coffee because he always had this very near to the maker, to the potter. But the potter wants a beautiful display of flower, kind of like. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe that God really knows the best for you, for us? Yes? This reality is not easily put into perspective. Not everyone can readily accept it plainly. Why? Only few get it. And believers may even find it challenging to trust God with everything. Why is it that? Now, when life becomes easy, our tendency is to what? Relax a little bit. Relax a little bit. Is it really a great life to have a relaxing life? If you have a very relaxing life, is it great life? I know of older people back in the northern part of the Philippines. They just don't want to be involved in anything. They just do their things every day. No, they have no problem because they don't have any children. They have a nephews, but of course, children and nephews are different. So they are just husband and wife, and they grow old, have a simple life. Would you like to have that kind of life? Not involved in anything, just watching everybody passing by. That's very relaxing life. Do you know that relaxing is dangerous? Relaxing is dangerous. The word relax and lax, they are related. Re, we know that it signifies again or repetition, right? Re. And lax is, it means not strict, not severe, not tense, not rigid, not firm. Lax means it's loose, it's slack, it's careless, or it's negligent. You're negligent of what's happening, you're careless of what's happening because you are relaxed. A relaxed lifestyle is a repetition of not severe, repetition of not tense, repetition of not rigid, repetition of not firm, repetition of loose, repetition of slack, repetition of carelessness, repetition of negligent lifestyle, right? That's relaxed. Many of you, if not all of you, heard the story of David and Bathsheba. Can you agree that every person, great or small, has a share of negligence? King David's share of negligence was recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1 to 3. Let's read this part. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful, and David sent someone to find out about her. The man said, "She is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite." Then David sent messenger to get her. So what exactly was David's negligence? When it says, time when king go off to war, What did David do? David was negligent of his duty as king when he chose to relax a little bit. Relaxing time is unguarded time. But our human natural tendency is to relax a little bit. And David had this unguarded time when he chose to relax. He may have assumed, well, everything is fine, everything is under control. My commanders are really good, so why not relax a little bit? And I am a king. He did not know that he was careless and slack. So when he slept with Bathsheba, it exposed his carelessness miserably. Relaxing a little bit is helpful to the body and mind. It is. If one insists on his right to relax, I have the right to relax. That person gave in to his pride of demanding respect. You need to respect my right to relax. He demands his right to be recognized. It's real. If we are right in our mindset, does it follow that we should insist on our right? Yet that is not biblical, is it? Is it biblical? Did the Lord command us to insist, fight for your right? It says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 to 9, let's read this. You who are younger, submit yourself to your elders. All of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the evil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing some kind of suffering. One time I was preached on by my children, because I always say this, quote this passage, do not be proud. When I say, I'm so proud of you, are we now supposed to say, use the word proud? Well, that is my unguarded moment. As a proud father, I was opposed by the Lord. But what term should we use as Christians? I'm blessed because of you, my daughter, my son. But most of the time, children would like to hear that we are proud of them. But that's not the right term for Christians. That is the term for secular. So when your children achieve something, they attain something, and you want to express your joy, don't say, I'm very proud of you, my son, my daughter. Say, I'm blessed because of you. I feel great because of you. But it's easy because lagi natin ginagamit yung I'm proud of you, di ba? Do you normally say that? I'm proud of you, my friend. I'm proud of you. But that's not the case, because when we remember this, you are already opposed by the Lord. And you don't like that, right? Does it make you alert and have sober in mind if you relax a little bit? Will you be alert when you are relaxing? You don't mind anything. Not minding anything is not alert, right? Anyway, extended relaxation at work is carelessness and negligence. But many would go to work during break. It's break, you have 15 minutes break, right on, like for example, 12 to 15, that's your break, for example. People, when it's break, 12, stop, everything is stopped, and go to have a break. But 12:15, they are still walking slowly, going to their chairs. That's extended relaxing. And that's not great, right? Relaxation is a very seductive temptation that many would like to have and experience. Why? We like to relax. We love to relax. Our human nature does not necessarily enjoy hardship. We don't like hard work. Surely, the body and the mind and the spirit need rest and recreation, but extended relaxation is not very productive. It's not. Just think of those videos. People who would watch TV, have their popcorn there and their soft drinks there. Everything is near their fingers, and you can easily imagine the kind of person that is. Right? Do you like that kind of life? But the mind wants. We desire it. The best positive and productive rest and recreation, if you want productive rest, is to find rest in Christ. Christ says, come to me and I will give you rest. Finding rest in Christ, Christ inspires us to persevere and keep on. How can you relax? How can you rest when you persevere and keep on? Let's read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 to 9. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. Verse 8, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sin. It's the sin that commands us, dictate us to relax and to not be productive and not be effective. That's the sin. So if we are freed from sin, then our mindset wants to be productive. That is exactly what Joseph has exemplified in his lifestyle. He was careful not to sin against the Lord. He had this self-control to refuse temptation. He knew how to persevere as a slave. He learned that, and the Lord blessed him, and he prospered. He had overcome temptation even when he attended his duties assigned to him. Let's read again verse 10 to 12. Let's read. And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend his duties, and none of the household servants was inside. He caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. You know what? The life of Joseph is a practical illustration of our experience in our spiritual life. When he was sold as a slave, we are sold as slave to sin. But by faith, he was able, by faith in God, he was able to prosper even in that kind. He was freed as a slave and be the officer in charge of his master. And Christ freed us from sin. And yet, even as free he was still tempted. Even us, when we are freed from sin, we are still tempted. But by faith, Joseph was able to resist temptation in his life. And it is also by faith that we are able to resist temptation. Being the manager of his master's properties, Joseph could have easily instructed the other servants, all right, do this, okay, you do this, you do that, and he just could have relaxed a little bit. Well, everything is in their control, why not relax a little bit? But Joseph testified that he did not desire to give in to wickedness or sin against God. By attending to his duties diligently, he resisted temptation of relaxing, and his master was very pleased. It commands us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Even while you are cooking or even when you are doing menial things, it should be, well, I will do this, I'll do my best because the Lord is watching me. Yes, for you, Lord. I'm cooking this not for my family, but for you, Lord. When your family appreciates what you are cooking, then you know that God is pleased of what you've done. Such was the lifestyle of Joseph that he lived on. He wanted to glorify God in a severe situation, being a slave, a lifestyle pleasing to God. In a severe situation, he wanted to please the Lord. He preferred to wait upon the Lord to deal with his situation. He diligently attended to his duties as manager of properties of his master and did not entertain any temptation. There are a lot of temptation while working. You are tempted to not do everything what you are doing, but to relax a little bit, extend your break, something like that, or just not come to work. Maybe 1 minute. Well, boss, I'm just late 1 minute. But 1 minute, how many words can you encode? 60 words per minute if you are good. We can conclude that Joseph was more focused on trusting the Lord than returning to Canaan, where he had luxury in his father's household. When he became manager, he could have said to his boss, I have something to do somewhere else, and just escape going back to Canaan. But he did not. Did he ever reminisce? Did he ever wish to have relaxing lifestyle in his father's household? You know what? His lifestyle in his father's household was very relaxing, but he did not wish to go back to Canaan. Joseph may have remembered the good old days in his father's household in Canaan, but he may have also remembered his siblings who were very harsh to him. While in Egypt, the Egyptians loved him. He was the boss, whereas in Canaan, although it was relaxing, he was kicked out. It says in Psalm 46, verse 10, it says, let's read this, it says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nation. I will be exalted on the earth. That is something that we need to learn to apply in our lives, to wait upon the Lord, that the Lord would fulfill what he planned for our life. When Joseph told his brothers about his dream, remember that when he told his brother about his dream, what happened? His brothers were angry when they heard his dream. Then Joseph told them another dream, which was very similar to the first one. And the interpretation of his brothers about his dream, it may have come from the Lord. Maybe the Lord gave them that interpretation because they were unified, and perhaps they believed that Joseph would be more successful than them. Let's read again, it's Genesis chapter 37, verse 8. His brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Joseph did not insist. He did not try to manipulate things. Oh, I need to see and pursue this dream will come true in my life. He did not. He did not insist on that. He believed that his vision about the future came from the Lord. Therefore, if it is the will of God, nobody can prevent it. Nobody can stop the Lord in doing his will for your life. His brother tried. His brother tried to prevent Joseph's dream from happening when they planned to hurt him. They did not want that it will happen. In Genesis chapter 37, verse 19 to 20, it says, "Here comes the dreamer." They said to each other, "Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that it's that a ferocious animal devoured them. Then we'll see what comes of his dream." See, they wanted to stop that dream to happen. And yet it did not. They cannot prevent it. It was God's plan. The Lord did not allow Joseph to die. Instead, they sold him. That selling of Joseph may have been the bad things that they were doing that Joseph reported to their father. They might have been selling something for their personal profit, and they sold Joseph for personal profit. Joseph ended up in Egypt. God's plan for Joseph must be fulfilled, that Joseph must be in Egypt. God wanted to use that Joseph as his instrument to bring the Israelites to Egypt. Eventually, the Israelites went to Egypt so that what the Lord told Abraham will also be fulfilled. It was in the overall plan of God that Joseph will be going to Egypt. God used the wickedness of Joseph's brother to force Joseph to be brought to Egypt. If they were not harsh to him, if they would just plead, "Joseph, can you go to Egypt? Just stay there in Egypt," Joseph would not want it. So God must use a drastic measure, using that harshness of his brothers for him to be forced to go to Egypt. The Lord has warned Abraham about this in Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. Let's read this. For know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be stranger in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. See, it happened. The Lord told Abraham, and many years after, it happened. Although Abraham did not see that his descendants went to Egypt, that was exactly what happened to Abraham's descendants, the Israelites. They were mistreated in Egypt for more than 400 years as slaves. So what can we learn from the lifestyle of Joseph to wait upon the Lord to fulfill his plan? Today, decide for yourself. Have you ever heard God's plan for your life? Do you know for certain what God's plan is for you, personally, specifically, what he wants you to do? If you don't, keep praying. Do you have a plan for me, Lord? Asking him, fill me with your Holy Spirit and reveal to me. Then what's next? Just wait. Do what you think is best. Whatever God put into your hearts, it could be God's way to lead you to his plan. God has already arranged this series of events, pleasant and unpleasant events, that he deemed necessary to fulfill his plan for you. Joseph did not have any pleasant experience. Overall, there were very unpleasant things before he realized that it was God's plan for him to be the second most powerful person in Egypt. Your response to God, to any event that God allows you to experience, to encounter, may it be good, pleasant, unpleasant, every event that comes into your life, it could be God's instrument to lead you to his design for you, if they are very necessary to fulfill his plan. Your response does not change God's plan. If you resist, it doesn't change God's plan. If you accept, it doesn't change God's plan. but surely affect your approach to life. It affects you more than God. If you desire to have joy and peace in every circumstance and become blessing to others, keep praying to God, for God to help you fulfill, fully submit to His will. Lord, help me submit to Your will. I may not be able to understand. You know the resistance in my heart. Sometimes I oppose You, but help me submit to Your will. Keep asking Christ to perform His Lordship in your life. Lord, be my Lord and Savior. I always pray, Lord Jesus, but I don't want to submit to You. Accept that reality before Him so that you will realize that you are not really accepting Him as your Lord. Even if you say, Lord, but you do not really accept Him as Lord. What is Lord? Master. If He is the master, then you are the servant. Boss. If you are the boss, then you are a subordinate. If He is the boss, you are the subordinate. So who should be followed? The subordinate or the boss? The servant or the master? The subject or the Lord? Keep asking. Christ can also help us to resist that temptation of resisting Him, resisting His will. Keep asking until you sense His Spirit producing fruit in your life. And there is this peace that comes from God that surpasses understanding. You may not be able to understand it. You may not be able to explain it plainly. Because peace that comes from God surpasses human understanding. All human wisdom combined cannot explain the peace that comes from God, because our capacity as human will never reach the standard of God. I cannot even able to explain that very well, but by faith we believe. So remember Joseph, his situation. He was sold as a slave. He was harassed by his brothers, just kicked out by his brothers. He was tempted, but he kept on trusting the Lord. Would your situation be much worse than Joseph's situation? Yet God blessed him and he prospered. Shall we stand up and try to evaluate our situation, our faith in God? Do I really, ask yourself, do I really submit to the Lord Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Then if not, ask Christ to enable you to submit to Him. Do you have a situation where you resist or you do not like? Ask the Lord to find you, to help you find Him in that situation, to fill you with His Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord for His Holy Spirit. Ask the Lord for wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom when we ask Him without finding fault. Doesn't find fault. He gives it freely. Ask the Lord for wisdom.